This is All Things Considered on VPR. I'm Henry Epp. Lawmakers are back in Montpelier for the start of a special session today. The legislature and Governor Scott are at an impasse over the state budget. At the heart of the dispute, how to use millions of dollars in one-time money. Scott wants to use it to keep next year's property tax rates level. Lawmakers want to pay down pension obligations in the future. So, how will they resolve this dispute? The first step, the Scott administration is presenting lawmakers with a new proposal. And for more on that, I'm joined now by VPR's State House reporter Pete Hirschfeld. Hi, Pete.
Hello, Henry.
So what is Governor Scott's new proposal to the legislature?
Well, there isn't much new in there. The plan that we saw from Phil Scott's team today is mostly a recreation of the plan that we saw them put forth toward the end of the original legislative session that adjourned earlier this month. That proposal has some core elements to it. There's one crucial linchpin there, though, from the governor's perspective at least, and that's to use $34 million in one-time money to keep property tax rates flat next year. Now, based on the school budgets that were approved by local voters back on town meeting day, those statewide rates are set to jump by about 5 cents. Lawmakers actually pulled that down a little bit in their final budget. But even with that lower rate increase, Scott says taxpayers just can't afford any property tax rate increase right now, and he wants to take money in the state operating budget, put it in the education fund, and that would have the effect of obviating the need for this tax increase. Now, even Phil Scott says it's generally a bad idea to use one-time money for this kind of expenditure, but he says his plan has some provisions to ensure that the state will be able to pay back that one-time money and then some, thanks to a series of cost-cutting mechanisms that are also included in the proposal. Those mechanisms include a task force to help local school districts make staffing reductions. They also include changes to something called the excess spending threshold, which would create some new penalties for districts where the per pupil spending is above the statewide average.
Okay. And so this sounds fairly familiar. What did lawmakers think of the offer that Scott's put forward now?
Well, you can guess, right? if we ended the regular session at such odds with that proposal, you would expect that they would have the same reaction to this one, and those expectations bore out. I mean, they hate it, to be blunt. The most critical element, again, of this whole budget impasse is the governor's insistence on using this one-time money to keep property tax rates flat. And the thing that makes this impasse so intractable right now is that that happens to also be the element of the governor's plan that lawmakers object to the most. House Speaker Mitzi Johnson and Senate President Tim Ash say it wouldn't be hard to do this from a financial perspective. They say they have the money available to make that happen. They just think it's a reckless and irresponsible way to be using that one-time money. They want to use the $34 million instead to buy down future pension obligations. Right. They say this would save the state $100 million in avoided interest payments over the next 20 years. They say they know their approach isn't sexy. You don't get a no new tax rate increase headline that the governor's plan would get. But they say if you drop the $34 million into buying down property tax rates now, you get only a one-year benefit. They say you put that money instead into future pension obligations and you're going to realize real value over time. There's another reason they're opposed to it. They say, look, statewide property tax rates are going up because local voters approved school budget increases at town meeting day. And they say if you insulate voters from the consequences of those decisions, then you cultivate a belief among the electorate that higher budgets don't equate to higher tax rates. And they say if you do that, you risk even more education spending in the future.
Right. Okay, so we're still at this standoff and impasse. Are there any obvious paths right now to a resolution to wrapping any of this up?
No, you know, nothing obvious. And that's the thing that's so vexing about all this is the longer they try to resolve this standoff, the further they seem to get from each other. There were a number of scenes that played out this afternoon where you had top administration officials presenting the governor's plan to obviously skeptical lawmakers. And you could just see the tension. You could read it in the body language. The two sides, they're talking at each other. They're talking past each other, but you don't really see them talking to each other. I'm sure part of this is the kind of posturing that accompanies any major negotiation, but there are a lot of people up there that are feeling like it does not bode terribly well.
Okay. Well, just briefly, Pete, yesterday Governor Scott signed and vetoed a number of bills that were previously passed by the legislature, and you can find a rundown of those at vpr.net, by the way. Scott vetoed bills that would have raised the minimum wage and created a paid family leave system. What were some of the other standout measures that were axed or were passed?
So he also vetoed a bill that would have required manufacturers to pay for the cost of medical monitoring in the event of a chemical contamination or chemical spill. That was something that came out of the PFOA story that we saw in Bennington County. Mm-hmm. He did end up signing a net neutrality bill that I think a lot of people were expecting him to veto. A number of other measures. There were some energy efficiency requirements that he signed into law. So it was a mixed bag. You know, it was a bit of a contradiction. There were people that were very upset about his vetoes of the minimum wage bill and paid family leave bill. But he did surprise a lot of advocates for progressive causes with some of the legislation that he either signed into law or allowed to go into law without his signature.
That's VPR's Pete Hirschfeld. Pete, thanks so much.
Thank you, Henry.